Legend Row.
It's a chauvinistic pig attitude that you're gonna do something because you work at the Arsenal and you got a fucking Mercedes Benz and you ain't gotta walk every day, so you're gonna get out and strut that ass, strut that ass, strut that ass, strut that ass, strut that ass.
It's time in 83.
Double rainbow, oh my god. It's a double rainbow all the way.
Randall Thor 19.
Oh, you are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Omega D's.
He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up.
Welcome to Party Chat.
Welcome to this week's Party Chat podcast. I am Majin Fro.
Your balls are showing.
With me, we have Stallion 83.
Hello, everybody.
And next to him, in Chicagoland, we have Randall Thor 19.
Fuck you, bro.
And all the way up in Detroit, we got Omega D's.
Word.
So, this is our third podcast. We're recording it all out of order, so we've been here a little while recording this. We've, in general, gotten pretty good response. We're trying to keep getting better, though. Apparently people liked the Who Let the Nub In segment last week. We're going to have that again this week. We're going to have a new segment, Omega Tales from Detroit. We've already recorded it. It's funny as hell, so look for that later. We got an interview with Pigamus Prime, number one gamer score in the UK. You want to say hey, Pig?
Whoa!
That was just strange.
Was that a chicken or what the fuck was that?
Oh, no. Oh, we do it here in the UK.
Okay.
Macho voices.
We will have some listeners' questions. We got a couple of those. We'll have Lonnie drop in and drop a question on us about NBA Jam. We got part two of our Connect discussion with Stoff J in it from last week. We'll also be discussing the Auto-Tune the News on YouTube. Three videos that caught our attention, and the songs have been stuck in our head for a week or two now, thanks to Randall Thor 19. Fuck you, Rand.
Strut that ass. That ass, guys.
Strut that ass. In fact, the quotes you heard at the intro song or from the original videos that the Auto-Tune music videos were based on.
We are gamers. We happen to play games. Welcome to the Games Played segment.
So, Stallion, what have you been playing this week?
Earlier this week, I played Chaotic. I think Shadow Warriors.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Chaotic Shadow Warriors. It's basically a little kitty RPG, turn-based RPG. If you've never based RPG, that would be a good one to start with. Basically RPGs for nubs. So, fit right in with that. But, yeah, that's an easy game, you know. Get out 930 points in 6 hours, 7 hours, something like that.
Right. Did you boost the multiplayer?
No, I'm going to hold off on that for a little while.
Yeah, you might want to hold off on that forever. Me and Rand did it.
Yeah, agonizing. That take like at least 10 hours or better or something.
Yeah, something like that.
What else I play? Alan Wake. I finally really got into Alan Wake. It's a really awesome game. It's probably the... You guys agree with me on this, but it's probably the second best survival horror game on the 360. Dead Space is a little bit better still. But it's really awesome. It took me a while to get into it because of all the collectibles. I don't know, once I got over the fact that I hated getting all the collectibles because I was maximizing my playthrough, you know, get everything and all that. It turned out to be a really awesome game. I mean, there's nothing really like it.
Yeah, I'm right with you there, dude. Dead Space is number one. Alan Wake is right there at number two.
Yeah, I had to think about that for a second, but that, I think that's just the way it goes.
Alan Wake's got a better story.
Yeah, it's got a better story, but it doesn't, like, after a while, all the stuff you can do, like the combat stuff, this place is just better. I mean, once you're going through your nightmare playthrough, you're utilizing all the equipment and stuff like crazy. Like, how many flares you can get. Oh, I got 5 flares, so I can throw a flare down and just run. I mean, that's the best use of flares in any game ever. I mean, just throwing down a flare and being like, okay, it's going to save my ass for a few seconds. No, I mean, I don't know. It was a good feeling. So I had a lot of fun with that. Achievements are easy on that game, too. Nothing really that hard. DLC is good also. It's short, but it's better than most of out there. But, I mean, if you haven't played this game, go play it. It's definitely one of the best this year.
Well, I think I'm the only one out of the group that hasn't played it yet.
Yeah, you need to play it, Fro. I'm not going to tell you you're going to like love it right away because I didn't, but it came around and I enjoyed it a lot.
What chapter did you start liking it? Because I noticed some people, the third chapter, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my god, this is awesome.
After the bird scene. After the bird scene, that's probably when I started liking it. Maybe it was a little bit before that, but it was just the collectibles that I don't know, I was kind of...
Didn't that game have, like, the illusion of, like, a big open world? Like,
sort of.
Where there's, like, you know, you really can't explore everywhere, but, like, you see everything, and they actually end it, like, they show you the spot in the distance.
Yeah.
You actually go there. But because it's so dark and foggy...
Like, yeah. Well, you know, what would have been realistic with that game is he would have probably gotten eaten up by a damn sloth, how fucking slow he was. He couldn't run with shit. Like... I'm surprised he didn't get eaten up by a grizzly bear or something in that game because...
He could run for 2 seconds and he was winded.
He could run for 2 seconds and he, like, stumble. So, I mean, you had to... You're running a nightmare. You got to use all your equipment and stuff. So,
did you, like, getting those manuscript pages?
I like getting them. I read a few of them. I didn't go... I think you said you read them all, didn't you?
Yeah, I read them all.
I didn't read them all. I didn't really care about the manuscript pages. It was just those coffee thermos, or whatever.
Remember that one manuscript page where it was like, pick up the page, and he read about the part of where he picked up the page and he turned the page and drank because he read that he drank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember that.
It's like trying to like. You know, the old discussion with Dexter, like Dexter's gonna die by a serial killer.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, my mind is blown right now.
Yeah, that. Gotta play that. It is good. Manuscript pages gave you a hint at what's gonna happen ahead too. Sometimes. I thought that part was pretty cool. So I read them all. What do you guys think about the? I'm not gonna try to spoil it. I don't know if it even spoiled if I said it, but the whole flashlight part towards the end. You know what I'm talking about? Words, flashlights, you know.
I thought that was really weird. They really expanded on it really well for the DLC, though, I thought.
Yeah, because you can only get something from that.
Yeah,
right?
So they took the concept of it at the end, and they, like, actually made it into a solid foundation. Like, the very first time, I was like, what the hell is this? Oh, like, okay. Shine your light on, like, a pole, and a pole shows up. Like, it kind of just... Really weird. But it worked worked out really well for the deal.
The best game you'll ever use a flashlight in, I think. As a weapon. Because, I don't know, yeah, I mean...
There is one of the worst cases of product placement ever, though, in the DLC.
Wasn't there, like, a Verizon or something?
Yeah, it was a Verizon phone, and Alan Wake picks it up, and the other guy on the other line goes, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? I just rolled my eyes.
There was some billboards too, if you noticed, the Verizon billboards.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what Alone in the Dark should have been. But what would you guys think of this, though? So you know how it goes, the episodes and stuff. What would you think if they made a game like that, had like 12 episodes, they were like 30 minutes apiece, you download one every week. That's how they did their game. But
I'd love
like
it.
That.
Love it.
I'd be fine with it.
Like, I would sit there and listen to the song play.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
And even the end credits. I thought the end credits song was perfect. Uh-huh.
You noticed the Max Payne stuff, like, thrown in there?
Oh, yeah, I noticed the Max Payne stuff. I totally noticed.
Like, they had the cardboard cutouts and stuff. Some of that stuff kind of looked like...
Barry. I saw a lot of people complaining about Barry, but I thought he was a great comic relief.
Oh, I thought he was, too. I mean, the Christmas light, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I was cracking up about that. He kind of sounded like Joe Pesci again. Like, what was the other game? Bayonetta. He had Joe Pesci in it.
Oh, yeah, Bayonetta.
He's kind of Joe Pesci at first, but he was cool. At first, I didn't like him, Ren. I didn't like him, but...
Well, there are a lot of games out there that you don't like right away.
Oh, I know.
And eventually you come around to.
Oh, I really came around to that one, though. I even liked it better the second playthrough. And about all I played, I watched Prison Break, like I promised, and that show's pretty damn good. Check that out.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to start on it this weekend.
Netflix? It's all over Netflix, man. You can watch three seasons or whatever. Well, yeah, four seasons on Netflix. Oh, four seasons. So is that all there is? Four seasons?
Four seasons and a movie.
I got a movie. All right. Well, I'm glad you guys recommended it to me because it is awesome. It is. It is like what I said, like the Shawshank Redemption. It's kind of like that. Boy, they copied some of that stuff.
So this week, I spent the beginning of the week finishing up The Last Stand of Dawn of War 2, got my full 2,000 points. Got a killer strategy for doing the Dawn of War 2. It utilizes a glitch that allows you to kind of stay away from the enemies. Granted, you've got to get close to them, you know, close enough for range attacks to be able to damage them. But pretty much, you level up two sorcerers, you and a buddy, and you can two-man the Last Stand mode and knock it out around level 17, even though you got to level up to 20.
How'd it feel to get that done, man? I saw you working at that for a while. Feel pretty good.
Yeah.
What's that game like?
It's a squad-based RTS. There's no base building, except for in the competitive multiplayer. But the single player and the Last Stand's just Last Stand, you control a hero, and in the single player, you control squads of heroes. But yeah, that's pretty much what it's like. It's like a mix between a hack and slash RPG and a RTS. Also, I played a lovely, lovely little kid's game called SpongeBob SquarePants Truth or Square.
The game was that bad.
I thought it was bad just because the levels were so damn long. But, you know, then again, there wasn't that many levels. But it's just like, you know, going through a level, it's like, man, this should have ended like half a level ago. Achievement-wise, it was relatively easy, relatively quick. The only really irritating thing was having to replay the levels, you know, for the collectibles. I kind of wish I could have just went through and got them the first time through instead of having to go back after I beat the game. The main joy of my life this week has been The Darkness. I know it's a rather old game, and I think Omega's the only one that's played it recently. And that was, last year? What, in Omega?
Last year.
Apparently there's a glitch that was discovered in The Darkness where, well, I guess it's not really a glitch, and I don't know why people didn't try it before recently. But you can play through the whole game on easy, and then just load up the checkpoint for Chapter 5 and replay Chapter 5 story and unlock the hard and normal achievements.
Do it.
I love that game. Thought that game was amazing.
I thought the storyline was okay, but I thought the game itself, even on easy, was too hard.
Yeah, I was just on Twitter and I saw you talking about that. You posted the off.
Yeah, I mean, because All right, we've all played Call of Duty, and we know how, like, you know, you come out of covering Call of Duty, like, you might have a second to react to you getting fired on, and you better get back into cover, or you're dead. Well, on the darkness, even on easy, you know, I'd come out of cover, and some of those guys towards the end, you know, they'd have the automatic weapons. Like, I'd have a chance to, like, maybe do fire off one shot, and then all of a sudden I'd drop down dead because there's two or three of them just firing at me with these automatic weapons. It didn't even give you a chance to react. I was dying faster than I was doing on Call of Duty Veteran, you know?
I thought that game was pretty easy once you got the darkness powers.
I don't remember it being hard. I don't remember that being hard at all.
Throwing up their black hole, sucking everybody in, and just being like, okay.
If you're in the darkness, I think you're pretty much invulnerable, aren't you? Yeah, I'm pretty sure, dude. Like, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, the only part that's actually kind of hard, part at the end where you're assault, you're the beginning, because we don't have the powers. Once you have the powers,
was the easiest.
Not
on hard, I thought the beginning was the hard. Graveyard is pretty tough.
Yeah, on hard, getting to the graveyard is a fucking bitch.
Well,
the rest of the game's kind of easy.
You didn't have to play it on hard, except for the last chapter, so. But, I thought it was harder than what it should have been. Maybe this is the way I was playing it. Maybe I was playing it wrong. I didn't really overuse the darkness powers other than to get the achievements. And, you know, I was using Black Hole a lot after that. But,
I think, who made that game? Starbreeze?
Yeah, the ones that did, Dark Athena, wasn't it?
I believe they're making a game for EA now. The rumor is it's Syndicate 5 and an old franchise, and I think Darkness 2 is being made currently, right?
Yeah, Top Cow.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to Darkness 2. I don't know if I want to, if I can stand more Darkling multiplayer.
They need to just leave that out next time.
Yeah, I mean,
Darkling ass.
That's what made this playthrough bearable now, because past 2 years I boosted the multiplayer. I started off with Rogue and did a little bit, and then I finished it up with Omega and Apple last year. And then I waited, you know, several months, and I just finally, you know, did the single player now. So if I would have had to do the multiplayer too, it would have driven me nuts.
I did a game over the course of 2 years, so all at once was too much, like you're saying. Good game, though, to have and go back and play.
And what I was playing before we started the podcast tonight, I decided to go ahead and finish up Soul Calibur 4. The only thing I have left really to do is the stuff related to Tower of Lost Souls. And before I got in here, I gotten up to floor 40 on the Ascension, so I only got like 20 more floors, and then get down to, I think, floor 20 on Descension, and then, you know, farm gold and items and stuff, and pretty much be done with Soul Calibur 4. That was a fun fighting game.
That was really good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, Soul Calibur 4 is one of the better fighting games on the 360.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely you got a triumvirate of fighting games on the 360 that are good. You got Soul Calibur 4, you got Tekken, and you got Street Fighter. Everything else that I've noticed released outside of those three has just been kind of hit and miss for me.
King of Fighters 12?
Oh, God.
I thought DOA was pretty good, but that might be.
Well, I haven't had a chance to play DOA, and I don't want to start like messing around with it before I have a set way to, you know, get all the points in it. But I guess that's the score whore in me. Ren, what games have you been playing?
Much game singular.
You've only played one game this week?
Yeah. Little League World Series 2010.
Now,
bane of my existence.
Remember, this is a PGR-13/R-rated podcast. I don't want no adult-only language.
It looks like an arcade-like baseball game, but it's more like a... It wants to be more like a... I don't even know. It's like straddles line between arcade and sim. I didn't like it at first. I then started to play it. Did the first playthrough where you play as the U.S. to play 20. I was kind of liking it. Then had all the achievements except this for the pitch-a-perfect game. And fucking computer cheats, dude. computer knows you're going for this. And even, I don't know how many times, had it been 7 or 8 times in a row, I was in the 6th inning, because the games are 6 innings long, and I'd have 2 outs, 1 out away. Somehow, some way, they would get a hit, fucking driving me fucking crazy. I haven't been that pissed off at something in a long, long time. Like, I think I've gone on record saying, like, 9-51 this year is probably the worst game I've played this year.
Right.
Wait, Planet 51 is worse than Attack of the Movies.
Well, no, Attack of the Movies, like, wasn't really boring, and it wasn't really that frustrating. Planet 51 was the most boring as shit I've ever played. You literally drive around and you pick up shit. Well, I don't want to talk about Planet 51, but I have to say that it was fucking boring, and that's something I can't stand. This game was just frustrating beyond all fucking... Call of Duty 5 Veteran was more, like, relaxing than trying that fucking perfect game shit. That's it, bro. That's all I've been playing.
Wow. Rand, you're going to have to play more games next week.
Yeah, Cars Race-O-Rama, lucky me.
You got anything else besides Cars Race-O-Rama for next week?
Left 4 Dead DLC 1, maybe. Maybe Red Dead, I don't know. Maybe Madden 10.
Yeah, you need to amp Madden up. 11, I don't know. You're slacking, dog.
Yeah, I know.
What have you been playing this week, Omeka?
Finished up Brave. I played a lot of Risen.
Sorry to hear that.
I finished up Brave and got my 500-point achievement.
That's what I did Sunday. I was playing Risen. Like that ice climbing. You like that ice climbing in Brave? The game didn't really bother me until it came down to the end when it just kept going. Yeah.
That was my problem with it, too, because it's just... It's like you think you're at the end, and then it goes on and on and on.
Yeah. I don't know. All day Monday, I was running around yelling Eagle Spirit, so I liked that game. I don't know. I told you you know what I meant when I said it. I ended up hating the game by the end, though. It was too much. It just kept going and going and going. I think I've cussed that much in a long time. But other than that, I played about 20 minutes of Godfather, which is basically like the second Godfather, which I played first.
So it plays like the second one?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same, except for it looks shittier. It's still pretty fun from what I played. I haven't really played enough of it to really get an opinion on it. Well, I've played like 30 hours in Risen, I gotta say.
That's all you got to say about Risen? You played 30 hours?
If you like fantasy RPGs, it's a good game.
Well, what's the concept on Risen, the plot?
I really can't try to think of how to tell you without really ruining it.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, general synopsis, like...
Basically, you end up shipwrecked on an island, you're cast away. The island is being controlled by an Inquisition. So Jews either join the Inquisition or join the bandits.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I don't really know how to say it without ruining it.
So,
basically, just an open-world game, you gotta find out what is wrong, what's happening in the world. Because basically the whole world's being taken over or destroyed or something.
Uh-huh.
Choose your side. This open world fantasy RPG from there. Picking plants, killing animals and skinning them. Well, pay them anyway. Is it, every time you kill an animal, does it freeze up for you too? Yeah, it just, that's exactly like Two Worlds. Like right before the killing blow, it kind of freezes for a second. Yeah. I like that. I don't know why, but I think it's just counting up because I guess your total kills go through multiple playthroughs. Maybe it's like saving that kill. Yeah, you can just load it. You can kill like 6 chickens, save it before you kill the 6 chickens, and then just load it back up and kill 6 more chickens, and that it just keeps counting. I got 20 chicken kills. But there's enough chickens in the world, though. But you got to get 2,000 kills, which I don't think you'll be able to do that in one playthrough, but you got to play the game twice anyway. Might not want to just load up for kills. There's enough animals to get the kills for like the boars and stuff. What about the text? Is it really small for you too? You like can't see the text at all? Not really. I can read it.
Oh, it's not like tiny problem for you?
That's about the tiniest the same size dragon thing I've ever seen. I don't know what's up with that. That might be a setting in there. I haven't had a problem with that. The only problem I have with the game is there's no sensitivity option in the options because that camera turns really fast.
Turns
it turns in chunks, though. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, it just, like, I don't know, turns in, like, 10-degree angles at a time.
Yeah, this, I think, for me, that's coming because it's moving so fast.
Yeah.
It's I don't not think like, there's an option to turn that down. So.
Yeah, I don't. It's not smooth like any other game you're used to where you can just, like, turn the camera to any angle. It turns chunks or whatever.
Yeah. That'll really screw you up in the fights later on in the game, too.
I got a question for you, too. Both are playing it. Did Randy Thor like the game?
Maybe.
I was gonna tell with you.
Yeah, you might like it. I don't know if it's as bad as Two Worlds. I don't know.
It's not as like, visually it's not as bad, and voice acting is better.
Yeah, voice acting is definitely better, but not by a lot. I mean, it's better, but still kind of.
I get scared when anything is compared to Two Worlds,
especially if it involves a horse.
It'll catch you better than Two Worlds. You're not going to have to play it for an hour to know if you'll like it. You'll know if you like it within the first 30 minutes or something. Maybe. Close to it.
If you're at the point where you're tired of getting tired of open world games, probably won't like it because it's open. The map is hard to use sometimes.
Yeah, that's another thing. The menu systems and the items, I don't like that shit. It's the game that was definitely made for PC first. That is probably, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
I got that feeling from it.
Yeah, it was made for PC first. It's made by the group that made the Gothic hack and slash games, Gothic 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
They're notorious for glitchy games, though they do have a huge fan base for Gothic. I don't understand why, because it's really, really glitchy.
Well, there's a glitch in Risen, actually. I don't know what causes it, but sometimes your whole screen just turns yellow, and the only way to fix that is to go back to the dashboard. It only happened to me twice, but there's autosaves in the game, but sometimes it won't save for like an hour, so if that happens, save since the last autosave, you're pretty much screwed. You gotta do that whole thing all over again if that happens.
You can, well, I noticed you can carry as much as you want, can't you?
I haven't run into any over-encumbered messages or anything.
That's the bad thing about that game. You can't, it seems like you can just carry as much as you want. That's one big plus for me. To go around and throw shit down and figure out what I want to keep and what I don't want to keep. You got it all there.
Yeah, I like the skill tree is pretty, well, there is no skill tree, but leveling up is pretty simple too. You just,
it's a lot of technical problems. It doesn't look good. It's all muddy looking too.
I really like the game. I like those kinds
I like
of
it
games,
too.
Though.
I like it too. It's just, there's a lot of problems with it, so. Ren can appreciate Two Worlds, so I don't know if he'll appreciate that.
You act like Two Worlds was meant to be appreciated.
If you like those kind of games, I recommend it.
This is part two of our Connect feature from last week. It has me, Rand, Omega, and Stallion arguing over Dance Central, what kind of games we want from Kinect, and it also features a guest opinion from Staff J, who was interviewed that podcast. So here you go and enjoy.
You know, maybe if Kinect bombs, maybe Microsoft would drop the price to $100 right away.
Or you could look at it this way: you're paying $100 for Kinect, and you're just forced to buy a game you didn't want.
I'm just going to wait until a grandkid in my neighborhood has one for sale. I'll get it.
Kinect only, like no game.
Well, Rand, what if it was $150, but you got your choice of whatever launch title you wanted? I mean, does
I still
that change your mind
any,
at all?
I don't want any of the launch titles at all. At least with the launch of the 360, there were games I wanted to play. Call of Duty 2, Condemned, I'm trying to think of some more. But I mean, they're Perfect Dark Zero before I hated it. There are games I legitimately want to play. I look at the list of games, and there's not one I want to play. And
they're all casual. Every single one of them is casual.
But come on, you don't want to get push-ups for achievements?
I'd do that, but I bought a dance mat for $100, and I got to play one game with it, pretty much. Dance Dance Revolution, you know?
You know where Microsoft...
I thought that was a turbo controller.
You know Microsoft...
Yeah.
There's no...
Everybody
there's no,
ends up doing that,
right.
Dude.
Where's Rare's game? Like, I know Rare's making, you know, the Wii Sports knockoff, But where's their, like, core game? Where's...
Rare doesn't do core later. Games. Rare's just Microsoft's bitch now.
I know, but where are all the games that would... I mean, we know people are going to get it anyways, right? I mean, just because they get everything, and we like achievements, so we'll get it. Because, you know, some of them have easy achievements, so people get it. But not everybody's like us. And if Microsoft is just, like... hoping that we all get it, well, then they're in for a rude awakening.
Yeah, but they're trying to get other people than us, dude. They're trying to get that.
I know, right. I know, but it's
they're trying to expand.
Right, they're trying to, but they've been trying to expand for a while, and they tried with Viva Pinata and all those casual games that didn't do anything.
Viva Pinata was a great game, though.
It was. Viva Pinata, I love Viva Pinata, but it
I hate Viva Pinata.
It seemed like it was more of a hardcore game for some reason, because we all
It was pretty hard. It was. I wouldn't say it's for kids. I mean, it's pretty involved.
I don't know.
What? I started playing it. I got like these messages calling me a faggot just for playing that game.
Yeah, the box, right? That was the.
Yeah, but we all get those messages every day, so like.
These are from people I actually know in real life, though. Like outside of Xbox.
Yeah, I think for them to be successful, they have to somehow. Get the Call of Duty Halo audience to buy into Kinect. Because I really don't think the Wii audience is going to either, A, leave the Wii, or the people that aren't interested in it will decide not to go with the Wii and get the Kinect.
There'll be games coming out after launch. I didn't buy a 360 at launch. I waited till Oblivion came up. Yeah, but if they never try nothing, they'll never change anything. You gotta try new stuff to see if it works. Maybe that's what they're doing.
I much prefer a controller one way or the other.
Yeah. I'd rather use Move than Mac, because at least Sony's looking at, like, look, we're doing what Nintendo did, but we're actually going to make games that we think you're going to like, you know? At least they're doing that.
Well, I would be happy to give you a Move report as well, so.
I'm sure, I already tell you Move is more accurate than Kinect and the Wii.
Which is the best, though? Which one do you think... which one would you rather use?
Move? Move because it'll be in more games I want to play, and it's more accurate.
Man, I'm really interested to see Move on there. It's SOCOM for Move. See how that works out.
Yeah, that'll be a good test on how these first-person shooters...
Yeah, I'm definitely going to see if I can pull some strings and get my hands on that early.
Killzone 3, don't forget, has got Move support.
Yeah.
That's a big Sony franchise. I mean, yeah, do you see Microsoft pulling a Halo 4 with Kinect-only support? How would that work? No?
Well, those type of games just probably won't ever work.
But
they gotta come out with something new.
But we've kind of proven that control scheme does work for first-person shooters.
Can you scan, like, a gun in and be like, this is going to be what I'm going to play with, and this is my gun, and then move it? Like,
I assume you could if it was, you know, that's just another ambitious developer situation more than it is technological.
Well, they didn't say anything at the press conferences, and I haven't heard anything about that since, so I'm assuming either that's a feature that was cut or a feature
not
that
limited.
Has yet to be implemented.
If it's really limited, then it's not going to be anything worth talking about.
I'm under the impression that any game developer, any really good game developer, can make a good game regardless of control scheme.
I think that's why
I'm excited for Kinect, because Harmonix, I'm excited to see new things I haven't played before. And Harmonix and Dance Central is going to be outstanding. I mean, I don't see how they can mess it up. Unless the camera really doesn't actually track you at all, it's going to be a solid game.
Ren, if that works at Dance Central and it's perfect, you don't think people are gonna go buy it?
For
you don't think that's
bucks?
Gonna I bought Rock Band? I bought Rock Band for $200.
Yeah,
just because it was good.
Right, but we're they have the same exact game on the Wii, which is already sold. Ridiculous, like Just Dance on the Wii and.
It's not the same game.
It's
pretty much the. It's
no.
That's like saying it's
they're
DDR.
Similar.
They're similar in the sense that,
like, alright, fine. I'll go with you guys saying they're not similar. They're dancing games, do what's on the screen. One you do with the Wii controller, one you actually just use yourself.
Yeah, the one picks up your actual body. The other one just picks
obviously
up motions on the Wii remote.
Obviously, that's the difference between Kinect and the Wii.
Yeah, it might be the difference between the Kinect and the Wii, but it's totally different. And, I mean, that's evidenced by if you sit there and play Wii Sports and you sit there and play the tennis game and all you got to do is flick your wrist. You're not actually making the total tennis motion.
I said at the beginning I gave Microsoft props for at least doing something different. Not copying
exactly.
Sony.
I mean,
not
so
copying Nintendo did.
For me, that
or
makes...
copying Sony. Or
for me,
whatever.
That makes Dance Central completely different. Because I'm sure with the Wii Just Dance, then again, I can't speak because I haven't played it, but I'm sure you could sit there and get away with being, you know, with the bullshit flick of the wrist motions like you can in every other fucking Wii game.
Sure, you probably can.
Yeah, and you could probably play it sitting down, just like you like, Rand.
Dude, I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. We've been making fun of the Wii and all the Wii games since the Wii system came out, bro. We've been making fun of games like that. So let's not just be like, let's not have to say all of a sudden like Dance Central is the game that will lead us into the promised land.
Yeah, but
it's still
dude,
a dancing game.
It's a good developer though.
A lot of people like the Harmonix is a good developer.
Developing a dance game on the Wii.
Well, when have I knocked dancing games? I knock Wii games. DDR is a great game. That thing did great in the arcade. Now, just because I can't get my fat ass up there doesn't mean I knock dancing games.
I don't know about you, but I did only difficulty with a turbo controller. I got some skills.
I think you meant you did it with a dance pad.
That has a turbo controller too. It's called drugs.
Speed.
I don't know. Snort right off the box.
Hey, I could be completely wrong, and we and Kinect might sell boatloads, and all because of Dance Central. And if that's the case, then
I mean, this a lot of people know? Buy stupid shit. But I don't think price is a factor.
Yeah, 150.
I don't really
bucks.
See too many broke people playing or buying video games.
$150 ain't really that. I mean, it's a lot, but
What about 300?
Well,
just $300
on the $300 for 360 or $400. What was it when they launched?
It was $399.
Yeah,
you paid $399 without a game for 360 when it came out. So I mean,
let's just say that they do a marketing campaign along the lines of Rock Band or Guitar Hero. They target current 360 owners, and they promote the hell out of Dance Central. They promote it like they did Rock Band. You don't think it's going to sell a good bit based on that?
It's got to be good, though, bro. Still got to be good.
Well, I mean, it looked good to me.
Okay, well,
you think good,
I think it will, but
this comes down to the question, bro. Is Microsoft targeting Kinect to existing owners, or are they trying to reach the Wii audience that doesn't have a 360?
Well, I don't think it really matters what Microsoft does in this situation. It matters what Harmonix does.
Right.
Throw some
okay, so
Justin Bieber in there, and they'll have all the casual fans they need.
I think Harmonix can sell Kinect for Microsoft, and it all depends on Harmonix.
I think you're right. So $150 isn't so bad per se, but if Kinect came with 5 games, 6 games I wanted to play, I'd buy it. But it doesn't have a single one. So why would
What if it does next year? What if it has 5 games next year?
Well, then I'll buy it. If there's actual games I want to play, I will buy it.
I think we'll wait and see what they come up with in the next couple years.
Yeah.
So really,
PlayStation 3, like there's a couple games I want to play, but I'm not willing to. I pretty much wouldn't get used. Like I played my 360 so much that it'd be like a $300 paperweight. I wouldn't.
Yeah, but if you weren't into achievements, you'd probably already have a PlayStation, so it's kind of relevant, you know.
My PS3 is in use right now. My roommate's watching TV on it.
I use mine. I got it sitting near the window, and when I'm sitting at the computer desk, I can see like my driveway off the PS3, you know, through the window, so I can see when people show up at my house. That's what I'm using my PS3 for.
Using it for a security camera?
Basically, because it reflects whatever's outside. So, off the reflection, I can just sit there and see my driveway.
But you live in a weed house or something?
I think he's just waiting for his Gamefly game.
All right. Well, I guess to sum it up, Microsoft obviously didn't target core gamers with the E3. And Steptoe tries to claim that it offers something, but we still haven't seen anything. And, I mean, till we sit there and see some effort by Microsoft to target us, I mean, how can we really support it? So,
I want to jump around your living room like a jackass, kicking over tables and shit.
Well, that's what I hope. I hope it's enough fun that it makes you forget you look like a jackass kicking over tables.
I mean, boxing, when, dude.
When you're drunk, it doesn't matter how much of a jackass you look like.
Yeah, I learned that playing Tony Hawk Ride.
I'm going to do a lot of LCD TVs, Bob, because everybody be breaking theirs by punching it or something.
I'm running up to the TV and punching it.
Is Microsoft coming out with a new line of TVs? Because they make a lot of money.
It's going to be like the Wiimote. They're going to make you like put fucking plastic on your hands, rubber plastic or whatever, so when you throw your hand at the TV.
Yeah, I mean, imagine playing like the boxing game or something. Hell, it's going to happen to somebody.
You just have a big balloon inside your knuckles.
Yeah. get you the little retard helmets.
All right. We're going to hell. Probably going to hell.
Yeah. This week we are interviewing Pygmus Prime. He sent us an audition tape, quite humorous. We will be playing that right now.
I am the Eggman. We are the Eggman. I am the Walrus. Oh, woo!
Pygmus Prime's the number one gamer score whore in the UK. And for those that don't know, the UK includes England, Scotland, Ireland. It's the United Kingdom. And they, you know, drink tea and eat crumpets. So, Pig, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, Fro.
Are you drinking tea and eating crumpets right now?
Oh, I'm drinking an energy drink because it's like 3 a.m. lots of sugar.
Drinking an energy drink and playing Gears of War 2? Is there anything like you'd rather do?
Well, Pig, we appreciate you coming on the podcast, staying up late, because since we record late, it's even later for you. So being the number one gamer scorer in the UK, you must play a lot of games.
Yeah. Play everything that comes out.
And you probably have a PAL. Of course you have a PAL, but American and Jap Xbox too, right?
Yeah, I have, yeah, all three.
I always wondered how you get American versions of the games. Do you buy them the same way? Like, Stanley gets his Japanese games and stuff? They like a certain website or something?
Well, for me, that website is the same. Actually, if I'm buying an American game, the only place that I know will ship to me is PlayAsia, which is also get your Jap games from. Yeah, I mean, it was easier for me to get a Jap machine than an American machine. I had to find like a private seller to get my American machine. Amazon. No one will ship here. I hear it's really difficult for Americans to German games, whereas for me that's the same as ordering a normal game. Yeah, I get my American games from PlayAsia and the same for Jap.
What's your favorite type of game to play, genre wise? You like shooters or sports games?
My favorite games are actually role-playing games, but admittedly achievements are kind of games for me. Favorite games of all time would be like your Final Fantasy, Zelda, stuff like that. Just for fun.
What is the one game that everybody can catch you playing pretty much every single day?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I kind of keep going. Like, I still play Gears 1 for fun, and I play Geometry Wars every day. Like, I need to play those two games.
What are you trying to accomplish on Geometry Wars? Going for higher scores?
Yeah, well, basically, when you say I play Geometry Wars 2, it's pacifism, specifically, that I'm quite addicted to. And yeah, I just try to improve my score all the time on it.
So, if I ever come to the UK, you'll get me my Geometry Wars 2 achievements, right?
Yeah. Even won't tell anyone. And
yeah, we'll keep that on the down low.
So, do you have any rivals on Xbox Live, Pig?
Well, unfortunately, no. I mean, especially, like, UK gamers, everyone has, over the past, like, year or two, has basically quit. Anyone that's been in any way close to me or anything like that. So, I mean, I mainly speak to Americans. I'm not in direct competition with anyone in particular. I mean, there's nobody in the UK anywhere near me, so I don't really like that, if I'm honest. I would rather have some competition.
Your early score whore days, you kind of were in competition with and kind of partnered up with a fellow named Hayden, weren't you?
Yeah, I met Hayden when Halo 3 came out, and we were, I think we were both at about 80,000. He was always like 5 or 6K ahead of me. And then when Gears 1 came out, he went to about 30K ahead of me, because that's all I played for like 4 months.
Now, I remember you telling me a story one time about something that was passed to Hayden in one of the strategy guides. I was wondering if you would like want to share that with us today.
Yeah, I was glad to share it with you, but I'd just like to point out I was nothing to do with it, because this is the kind of shit that can get you arrested. And yeah, I don't know about your laws, but it's bad. Basically, as you mentioned before, my friend Hayden borrowed his Lost Odyssey guide, a friend of mine named Loverson, and they basically fell out. I can't remember why they fell out. Loverson posted the guide back to Hayden, but he basically took a shit in it, in the guide, and bubble wrapped the guide. Hayden received the guide back, but he put it in his magazine rack for like a week. A girlfriend at the time decided to open it. Apparently she was quite sick. Hayden got a bit teary.
That's what we need to do when we send Rand stuff now.
I will kill you guys.
For his client's turn.
Well, that is such a disgusting story, but it's so funny, though.
Yeah. I remember hearing that. I can't remember who told me about that, but it seems to me, though, people in the UK enjoy that full gamer score thing more than people in the United States.
Really?
Yeah, I get that feeling.
I get completely the opposite. The only one. Like, yeah, well, mainly when I get, like, messages, whether it be, like, hate messages or ass-licking messages, American kids, more than UK people.
Doesn't surprise me.
A lot of Brits I've come across seem to have a very negative opinion of American gamers.
I got a negative opinion of them.
Well, yes, I think we all do, but I think it's gamers in general, not necessarily just American, but do you find that American gamers are more obnoxious than your local counterparts, or is it pretty assholes across all spectrums?
Yeah, I think it's not a country thing, it's an Xbox Live thing. I mean, it is a problem. To be honest with you, like, that's the reason I don't play a lot of games that I would otherwise play. Like, it's like with Gears 1, for example, I played that to death, and it, whenever you get any negative like opinions on the game, it's usually the people playing it more than the game. So like exposing sort of glitches in multiplayer, stuff like that, just totally ruins it. Right. Yeah, I think that is an Xbox Live thing, like, and also an age thing. Cocky teenagers. I don't think American kids don't annoy me more than British. Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I only really play Gears in like a sort of environment where you just bang into people. I don't play anything else more than after. I don't really like anything at the moment that much where I play it and play new people all the time.
Now, we know you're the number one score whore in the UK. Is there anyone else in Europe that you know of that is higher than you?
Yeah, well, that's a pretty grey area. Like, Pope Holt is German. I think he's third in the world, but I don't really know him that well. Spoke to him a couple of times on my friends list, but friend, a lot higher than me. German dude called Boris. I think there's three Germans that are ahead of me, but I don't really know them, and I don't really know anybody that knows them, so...
That's kind of interesting in itself, considering how the German government censors the media, the video game media and stuff, the availability of games in Germany, that they're able to even compete on the higher levels of score whoring with the lack of, games being released locally.
It's not hard to compete when you hack your card, bro.
Well, that's what I was trying to politely say. I mean, I'm not accusing anyone of anything, but I don't know that they are legit. It seems everyone has, like, some issue with them. What the issue is, but, like, the problem is nobody knows them. So, I mean, I did think, especially last year, that I was the highest in Europe, and then these guys kind of came out of nowhere. A lot of the time I've just assumed, like, who's legit and who isn't.
Well, it's only a matter of time before number one in the world is a Canadian anyways. Sigmas Prime isn't your original gamer tag, is it?
No, I've actually had about four or five names since A1. My original gamer tag was ATC Jedi Knight, my original gamer tag on A1. That's just my initials and the fact that I'm a Star Wars fan.
Glad to hear I'm not the only one that wastes money on changing gamer tags.
Who helped you pick out your new name?
I think that was you, actually. You and Hayden.
Yeah.
It was actually the Passion Pig we decided to change it, but I'm pretty sure I'm not going to change it again.
You ready to get down with Seriously 3.0, get a million kills online, and Veteran Gear 2.0, get like level 500?
Yeah, I mean, if it plays like Gears 1 rather than Gears 2, yeah, I'll be up for any achievement.
So what are your thoughts on Kinect, Pig?
What are my thoughts on Kinect?
Yeah.
Kinect games, possible to say anything because I haven't played it and I don't think you can buy anything until... I will buy it. But I'm mainly like looking forward to the features, like just messing around, like the cars on the dashboard, and just interests me. But am I looking forward to any of the games? Well, now I've not seen anything spectacular.
So you don't want to get down and boogie and Dance Central, huh?
Depends what the achievements are like. But yeah, probably. Depends if you can use a turbo pad. Then yeah, I'll get it.
Hook up your horror controller, turbo the A button, all the achievements.
Unfortunately, I don't think that'll work this time.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with it is I don't really know, I mean, I know you've all spoke about this already, but I don't really understand what they're trying to do. I'm not exactly, achievement whores aren't, I don't think, are their audience.
We'll know eventually if they have us achievement whores in mind, because now part of me thinks that like we're gonna have five achievements, they're all gonna be worth 200 points. It's gonna be like pet your connectable 200 points, stroke your connectable, give a connectable a red rocket 200 points, and then you'll know red that rocket. They really, yeah, red rocket.
It's a South Park reference, Omega. It's where they jerked off a dog.
That little thing that comes out their dick. Got a red rocket.
I seriously hope you cut this out, bro. I really do.
I'll edit it as I see fit.
Yeah, so I think we'll eventually know if Microsoft has achievement whores in mind. But, you know, we see the achievement lists pop up and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure a couple games will probably be relatively easy and painless.
Something that you've already touched on, but again, if they manage to mix it with the controller, that could be really good. Certain games. You know, if the movement was just part of you could still have like a hardcore game and then just have like neat touches using the camera. That's probably
the only way like a first person shooter would work, right? With a controller and like
yeah, definitely.
That'd be interesting. Maybe not have like full the look the right stick fully on the camera, but have to where it'd be almost like the lean command in old first person shooters on PC, where you could lean out from a corner or whatever.
Yeah,
like have where your head turns and kind of looks that way a little bit.
Yeah, I mean if you imagine just playing Gears, but just if when you moved your head, it. Left or the right much quicker, like as an example. But you could never control Gears on a camera. Well, you could, but it wouldn't be very good. Added to the lag that will no doubt be in Gears 3 and possible.
Make that host shotgun even more powerful, right?
Yeah.
Of Detroit City, there lives a gamer score whore named Omega D's. These are his stories.
Well, I was visiting a relative or in the neighborhood I grew up in. I went outside to smoke. Dude next door to her came up to me, sat down and started smoking, telling me about how his wife kicked him out of the house because he drinks too much. I don't know why he just started telling me all this, right? He's telling me how he lives out in the backyard and all this shit, and I started laughing because I didn't believe him. Because in that neighborhood, if you sleep outside, pretty much you probably get like raped or bit by a raccoon or shot or something. You know, because it's not a place you really want to be outside sleeping. But anyway, he took me in his backyard to prove it. He had a whole bedroom set. Just in the middle of the yard, we had a queen-size bed on a frame with a headboard, a dresser, and a nightstand with a lamp plugged into an extension cord, just in the middle of the yard. Like, showing me all this stuff, like I was on Cribs or something. And his wife won't let him in the house until he stops drinking. That's why he was out there. Sleeps in the middle of the yard. I asked him what he does when it rains, and he looked at me, he was like, I'll get wet. This is the weirdest shit I've ever seen. Lives in the middle of his yard. They have like a car bed out there and shit, driving around. Nah, it's just a regular queen size bed. And it was made too. He made his bed. That would have been sweet if he had a car bed. I should get in the car bed with him. I can just picture that in my head. I think that shit's funny, but. The way he was showing me felt like an episode of Cribs. They have like a little mini fridge. I don't know if he stayed. It was during the summer. I don't know if he stayed out there during the winter. If he was out there during the winter, he probably ended up like Apple's mailman.
He
was pretty cold.
Did
colored.
He show you anything else? Did he just show you the furniture? Did he like pull out like a badminton award or some shit like he had?
I just, I don't know. He opened his sock drawer and showed me all his socks. Oh, I did that. Like, everything the guy owned was set up in that backyard like it was in a house. Bedroom set. I think he had a clothes rack or something. Something he had clothes hanging on with hangers and shit. Weird. I wish I could get some pictures of that. I don't know why he came up and started talking to me, but I guess because he was only out in the backyard by himself. I don't know. Oh, yeah. There's another thing. His wife yelled out the back window asking him why he had strangers in her backyard. Turned around like, going in my room, bitch. He called it his room. His room is the world, I guess.
Who let the nub in? How did he get invited? I said, who let the nub in? It wasn't me that invited him. He's got a question for you, Mr. Stallion 83. I said, who let the nub in? None of us know how he got invited.
Hold on.
What's up, yo?
Yeah, what's up, Blood Symphony?
Oh! What's up?
What's going on?
Man, what's going on?
Hello?
Hey, Stallion.
Yeah, what's up?
Yo, can I be on your friend list? Because I really, like, admire your gamer score.
It's full right now, dude. I really can't take anybody off. I would, though. I maybe wanted... they raise the limit or something?
What?
Where are you from, dude?
Texas.
Where are you from?
Austin, Texas.
Texas.
He's a southern boy like you, Stallion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, Blood Symphony, what do you think about NBA Jam being packaged with NBA Elite?
I hate NBA Elite.
That is the right question.
That is
the right answer. Elite is garbage.
And the nub has left.
And Pig is pissing his pants right now.
Well, that shit's always awkward when they get in. They don't play shit for like 5 minutes.
They have listeners. And the listeners have questions. They will get funky with both. Welcome to the Listener's Questions segment.
So, Stallion, we've had some questions on the blogs since last week. What do we got going on, question-wise?
The random guy wants to know, what are your opinions on unachievable achievements?
Well, it's short.
We don't like them.
Not one bit. Not a fan of unachievable achievements.
Especially the one in cars springs to mind. How can you, I mean, it's lazy enough making an achievement for getting all the achievements. Have it glitch. It's like, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I cry this myself to sleep every night thinking about all the unattainable achievements. I don't know, what's some of the worst ones? Like you said, Pig, that cars one, that one's pretty bad.
No excuse for it, like.
Those NHL, those ones are the worst because it happened 2 years in a row.
It was the same achievement list both years too. It was like they copy pasted and they had the same exact problem.
Is that the worst one? Would you guys think?
I would say that's the worst, but
than Hellboy.
Yeah, Hellboy. Oh, God.
Wasn't that supposed to be DLC, right?
Yeah,
that's supposed to be DLC. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody likes unattainable achievements. So that Girl 2 achievement pisses me off. Did everything. Complete all the single player achievements. I did the DLC before I did that and fuck with 1200 in the game. Oh, that Army of Two, the Army of Two 40th day. Yeah, got all the original achievements. You can't get any of the DLC achievements. So that
No. You can get the DLC as long as you.
I don't think you heard what I said though. I said if you get the original 1000, you can't get any of the DLC.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But, right? But you can work it so you get all the achievements except the multiplayer, and then do the DLC, and then you can actually get the multiplayer shit.
Basically, you can get an easier 1000. That doesn't help me, though, because I already bought that shit, and I got a 1000.
That's why I never buy DLC until I have the game installed in my system, and I know it's ready to go, because you just never know. Metro just came out with DLC. Remember, Mike, I was telling you Metro's coming out with DLC with the
Ranger pack up right now.
Yeah, it's
it's glitched. Like, you can't get any of the achievements out of it. I mean, it works fine, it's just none of the achievements unlock.
Because that, most of the time I buy DLC only for the achievements. Which is only $10.
The majority of DLC is not really good anyways, and it's, like, overpriced.
Okay, so the question was, have any of you experienced a Red Ring with an import console, and if it does break, can you get it fixed or repaired in the same region that you're in?
Well, the answer to that, no, they won't. I mean, I'm on my second Jackbox, but I just bought another one. I mean, that's the reason why it's so difficult to get them, because, sorry, that's the reason you can't buy another region console in the country, because there's no warranty for it. That's why companies won't sell them to you, usually. I'm told that's the reason. So, great, you pretty much got to buy a new one unless you can repair it yourself.
Well, based on what Pig says, you obviously can't do it in the UK, but I've heard stories that you can send it in the US and they will fix it or send you the same region console back. Have you had that happen, Stein?
No, I've never had an import system break. Tractor Kid wants to know, how many of you will be picking up a Windows 7 phone? I ain't buying that shit.
Is that the one that has, like, achievements to go on the phone?
Yeah.
Xbox
Live Arcade games on it.
I need to get a new phone, so...
No plans on getting a Windows 7 phone.
I both love the idea and hate it, because, for me, achievements are like fucking Pokemon. You gotta catch them all. That's, Windows 7 phone's just another opportunity to get more achievements. But, because, like I said, you gotta catch them all like Pokemon, I feel obligated to get one. And I don't like feeling obligated to do a damn thing. So, I'm just torn.
I mean, what service does that work with, though? It doesn't work with every service.
It should work with whatever phones are Windows 7. They don't come out till November, though. Alright, joining the party with us now is Lonsta the Monster, old friend of all of ours. He had a question for this week's podcast, and what the fuck? Invite him in and let him ask it. So, Lonnie, what's your question?
Hey, guys, I appreciate you letting me in here, and my question was, what do you guys think of EA's latest Epic Fail, which, talking about the fact that NBA Jam is only coming as a quote-unquote free code in every copy of NBA Elite 11.
We all were kind of a little disappointed when EA kept claiming that NBA Jam was going to be a Wii exclusive. We wanted it on the 360, and we assumed that, you know, it'd show up on the 360 and PS3. And then there was the rumor, then confirmed by the ESRB, that it would be showing up on the 360 and PS3. But, of course, EA's got to fuck something up. And what EA is doing is they're going to gimp NBA Jam on the 360 and PS3. They're going to sell us NBA Jam gimp. But to get it, we got to, you know, have a brand new copy of NBA Elite 11. It'll be a pack-in with NBA Elite 11. And it won't even be the full Wii game. It'll just be three modes out of it. It won't include the NBA Jam remix. So, who feels kind of fucked there?
I have no clue what the fuck EA thinks they're doing with this. It's been a bomb on the Wii, for sure. And NBA, what's the name of EA's game? NBA Elite now? It's 5?
Yeah.
Now, anybody that plays NBA games know that the 2K series is vastly, vastly superior to the 5 or Elite series. It's like night and day.
Some people prefer the other one, but I sure as hell don't.
The fact that 2K's got the greatest basketball player ever to lace up his shoes on in the game now.
Yeah, they had Kobe on there.
Kobe's second fill now, dude. We got the real... we're not going to get into the Michael Jordan thing.
Maybe they felt the pressure. Way to compete with 2K.
Yeah, but then again, you would think, like... They not have faith in their product. Like, NBA Jam would probably... Like, let's say it came out during the Summer of Arcade. instead of, like, you know, Castle, you know, the new Castlevania games. I bet you that thing would sell bucket loads, dude.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
because,
you know?
I mean, that's the reason why it got made to begin with. That's why they went out and bought the license, because everyone's been saying for the past decade, you know, hey, we want some NBA Jam. I mean, that's why EA tried to copy it with its NBA Street and Midway with the NBA Ballers and all that. You know, nobody could get the formula right. And so they sat there and decided, well, let's get the fucking NBA Jam license and go back to the roots, you know?
Wasn't NBA Jam a Midway game in the first place?
It was Midway Acclaim, I think.
Yeah, and Midway went under, so but EA bought the... Probably bought the rights, or the...
I don't know. They might have bought it from Acclaim. I'm not sure who held it.
Oh, Acclaim, I think, might have.
Well, yeah. Nice bonus for the 100,000 people that buy Elite.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is EA decided to do a two-sided thing where that they package it with Elite, and they hope it helps sells copies of Elite, and they're hoping that the people that would have bought Elite anyway will go to the Wii and get the full version.
You know if it just comes with a code, or you have to play it off a disc?
I have no idea. And nobody even knows if it has achievements.
Well, the rumor is that the reason they can't sell it as an arcade game, and the reason it may not, you may have to play it off the disc, is because supposedly Namco Bandai has the licenses to digitally distribute NBA games until the end of the year. So that might be why it's on the disc. So that might be why those rumors.
I just feel fucked by it because, dude, I've been wanting an NBA Jam game since back in NBA Jam Hang Time on the N64, you know? That was the last good NBA Jam game.
Yeah, I played the NBA... I remember I bought NBA Jam Extreme on the PlayStation 1, and ever since then I've been wanting one to come out, and I believe that's the first cheat code that I ever learned when I was young. I mean, not the first, but it's still the oldest one I remember about, you know, even today. F right, A, B, B, A.
Well, that's always on fire, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's a darn shame they're gonna make us buy the freaking retail. Oh yeah, Elite. I still call it live. Hey, I gotta go, guys, but I appreciate you having me.
No problem, man. Right. Thanks for coming.
Later on.
See you guys.
Later, man.
Now, one of my favorite co-op games, I believe it came out last year, was Borderlands, and I believe y'all all enjoyed it too, right?
Yeah, Borderlands was one of my favorite games last year.
Apparently, we can be looking forward to at least another piece of DLC for Borderlands. It's been leaked.
What do you guys think about the possibility that the DLC is going to involve the Interplanetary Ninja Assassin?
As long as it's nothing like Mad Moxie, then I'm cool with it.
It's as good as Secret Armory. But then it doesn't even have to be that good. If it's as good as that Zombie Island, then I'm happy with it.
Now, from the leaked information, which Randy Pitchford has said is more like a draft of a script, so obviously none of this is finalized stuff. What the Interplanetary Ninja Assassin Claptrap does is revitalizes the bosses from the DLC with like putting them in claptraps. So you have like a General Knox claptrap, a Commander Steel claptrap, a Zombie Ned.
Cromorex.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about the Cromorex. But they're actually claptraps, so it'll be you facing a whole bunch of fucking claptraps in the DLC.
Dude, with the guy that shoots the claptraps every time I saw one when I was playing the game.
It sounds like it could be pretty cool, you know. Add like 150 gamer score, and I'll be happy.
Definitely. I mean, both me and my brother felt when we finished the game that was probably the best part of the ending, considering the ending to the actual game was kind of shitty. Was that reveal of Interplanetary Ninja Assassin Claptrap and stuff, and we were rather surprised when none of the DLC had anything to do with it, and now that there's going to be more DLC, obviously, It's good to see that they're going to use that joke for, you know, a plot line.
Yeah, Borderlands is one of my favorite games, so DLC is good, no matter what it is.
Yeah, like I said, bro, I love Borderlands. As long as it's not like Mad Moxie, I'm play it.
I think they should just work on the next one. I'm not even full of the DLC anymore.
So you're just tired of DLC in general for it?
I'd rather see the next one. I don't know.
Yeah, I can understand that. I feel that way about a lot of the DLC that's been coming out lately. It's just like, you know, it's enough's enough. But what got me was, you know, like I said, the plot. So I'm kind of excited for it. Here's a news piece that Stallion was interested in because he didn't realize that the game was cross-platform. He thought it was PC only. But when you buy Medal of Honor Limited Edition, you get a Battlefield 3 beta.
Now you have the PC fanboys all pissed off, though. Like, all the game's going to be dumbed down because it's on the consoles. I want the real Battlefield
3. All right, there's nothing worse than sitting there playing a PC game that has the fucking interface and controls from a console. The limitations.
Well, now we're getting some crappy PC games ported to the Xbox, and they got the same shitty-ass interface to... PC does, and it sucks. So you get
when they program games, they need to program for the specific platforms.
Medal of Honor, you guys getting it now since it's got the beta?
I was gonna get it anyways because I have faith in DICE. I don't know about buy. I mean, I don't know. I don't really buy limited editions, but maybe I will for this one. But
just like they have game, you know. It's just a beta.
It is just a beta, and there will probably be other ways to get in the beta, too.
For the third week in a row, let's discuss Alpha Protocol. Mega played it the first podcast, Ran played it the second podcast, but we got some gaming news regarding it, and of course Ran's going to trash what I have to say. But,
yeah. You already know it.
Sega's saying they've sold 700,000 copies of Alpha Protocol. Nowhere can I find a real source on whether that's shipped or actual units sold, but the 700,000 is pretty good compared to other things. But this is a game that Sega's come out and said that they're not going to make a sequel due to. I guess critical response and sales. Well, what do you guys think about the fact that it actually there's claims of it selling 700,000?
Well, do you want me to just rip everything you just said? Okay, all you need to know is the fact that Sega says there'll never be a sequel because there's no sales. Like, yeah, I believe them when they say they ship 700,000 copies. When a company says they've sold so much, they really mean is they've shipped that to warehouses. Like, to GameStops, to Walmart. Doesn't mean anybody bought the game. Like, you have to look. In America, there's this group that comes out every month called NPDs, and I'm a numbers guy. I love that shit. I love seeing what's popular and seeing how the systems are doing. And the UK has their own charts, and, Japan has their own charts. And between the three of them, you can get a pretty accurate representation on how something is faring. Rest of, like, mainland Europe is a very, very hazy. Kind of get some info, and it's kind of, like, where, like, things chart on, like, the charts, but you don't get, like, solid numbers. So, from what I can glean from looking at Japan, which it didn't sell over 5,000 copies, and looking at the UK, it charted the first week in the top 50, but then didn't chart again. And looking at America, where... reading a quote from Michael Pachter, he said that combined versions did less than 120,000. So I can't see in any way, shape, or form how it actually sold 700,000 copies to consumers because the numbers just don't, it just doesn't back it up.
Of course, yeah, that's worldwide too. But
yeah. Because, I mean, you could probably go to Best Buy right now and probably buy that game for $30 because all the retailers probably have a shitload of them because nobody bought them and they got to discount them. You know?
Well,
but yeah. The game's up for $40. No. Did they?
Yeah, so, I mean, I liked it, but it's a bomb. Like, I expected it to bomb. I mean, whatever. I mean, games bomb all the time, and it just happens that, you know, that was one of them.
Well, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, Sega comes out and says, we're not making a sequel due to low sales, and then, you know, a couple weeks later comes out and says, oh, we sold 700,000 copies of it.
They sold all their copies between the comments. 1 week, just everybody in the world just went out
and
bought a copy.
Maybe somebody listened to our podcast and said, hey, sounds like a good game, so go buy it. All due to you, Omega.
I never want to hear about that game
well,
again.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we'll be hearing about it next week when Majin Fro talks about his games played, because that's my next game after Soul Calibur 4.
So, I just turned my headset down during that.
4 weeks in a row, Alpha Protocol. Expect it. Alright, moving on. Rand, this is one you should be very interested in. Batman Arkham City was announced, and some information was leaked from the new Game Informer that's coming out. You want to fill us in on what you know?
Well, I actually haven't read the Game Informer article. All I can say is that the cover art for that looks absolutely... And I think I've been on record saying Batman Arkham Asylum was the best game last year.
Yeah.
Or my favorite game. It's just too awesome to even describe. I was literally enthralled the entire time I played it. I mean, I'm a diehard Batman fan. Then to actually get the game right, that'd be like some like cookie cutter bullshit. But I think the cover's hinting at some form of co-op.
You think so, with Catwoman?
Yeah, Batman's toying around with Catwoman. And if they do a co-op thing, which, you know, I have faith in Rocksteady that they can do it right. I would much rather have it be Catwoman than Robin.
True, but I don't think it necessarily means that. I think she might just be more of like a pop-up and tell you where to go person in Arkham.
Catwoman in the mythos of Batman has always been a friend enemy of Batman.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so like the fact that she's a prominent figure, like the early images suggest, like she's more part of she has a bigger part.
I don't necessarily jump to that conclusion, but all right, this is what was basically leaked from the Game Informer. You have two different Game Informer covers. One shows Catwoman chained up upside down, and Batman rubbing blood off his face onto his glove, and the second one shows. What I'm assuming Rand was talking about, Batman and Catwoman standing back to back, kind of like with a chain between them.
Yeah, it's
or
like
whatever.
It's her whip she uses. Got like her whip
is it?
Like wrapped around
yeah,
his
okay.
arm. So.
Yeah. Alright, I'm look closer, yeah. Alright, the portions of the villain roster got revealed, confirmed by Rocksteady to appear in the sequel. You have Catwoman, so that's another reason why I think she's more of a friend enemy than a co-op thing. Catwoman, Two-Face, Mr. Freeze, Harley Quinn's back, and Talia al Ghul.
Oh, really? Her?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of Bruce Wayne's many love interests. That's Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
Ah. So I guess that means we might see Ra's al Ghul.
Probably. Well, he's immortal, so.
Yeah.
I obviously Joker and Mark Hamill are back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that teaser trailer they had at the Spike Video Game Awards show is also hinted at, like, Penguin and Black Mask.
Rocksteady, what they're doing to keep the intense atmospheric situation of the first game is, the players will control Batman and he'll soar across Gotham City into a new maximum security home for all the insane criminal elements of the Batman universe. The new home is called Arkham City. So it's like I guess what they're doing is they're sectioning off a piece of Gotham City, and it's going to be kind of like, you know, a prison island type deal where I guess I can do whatever the fuck they, you know, want over there.
My only fear is that they're going to turn it into Grand Theft Auto Batman. I really don't want to see that happen. I'd much rather them keep the linear nature of Batman Arkham Asylum with the kind of hint of a bigger world, but I do not want, like, Batman, like I said, I do not want Grand Theft Auto Batman at all. I'm kind of getting sick of open world games. I got Red Dead Redemption sitting here, and I'm having trouble starting it because I don't want to play any, open world game right now.
Yeah, they definitely need to take the hint from other atmospheric games. Some of the most atmospheric games we've played this generation have all been linear storyteller pieces rather than open world. I mean, Bioshock,
Dead Space.
Annoying.
Arkham Asylum, Bioshock 2, oh, Singularity. What will be the last DLC for Bioshock 2? Before we had the couple multiplayer packs that irritated us all by raising the level to 50. Then we have what come out recently, the Protector Trials, which is kind of like Spec Op mode for Bioshock single player. But what's coming out next and last is a piece called Minerva's Den, which will be a new narrative piece where you get to play as a all new character who teams up with Dr. Tenenbaum and unravel a dictator stranglehold on the Rapture Central Computing District. Apparently there's going to be a never before seen type of Big Daddy, new plasmids, advanced weaponry. What are your thoughts on a new Bioshock DLC?
Bioshock 2 was much better than it had any right to be. Like, I really enjoyed it, so.
15 minutes long or something.
Oh, yeah, that's true, but would you rather have multiplayer DLC?
I'd rather have the single player stuff, but it's
still new.
You know what I'm happiest about in this announcement?
That's the last piece?
It goes back to what Stallion was saying earlier, you know, just work on the next game, you know, about Borderlands. Is I'm happy that they announced it's the last piece. That way, if I feel like it, I can get rid of my damn game now. After I get all the points. I know I'm done with that game. And I'm never going to have to get it again or put it back in my machine unless I want to play it.
Recently, there's been some videos making the rounds on YouTube over the past couple months that have been very popular. It's three videos. Double Rainbow, Bed Intruder, and Strutting That Ass. There's also a group called the Gregory Brothers. They do something they call Auto Tune the News, where they run the words through a audio filter called Auto Tune and then put it to music. They've created three hit songs based on these three videos. Bed Intruder, Double Rainbow, and Strutting That Ass. Bed Intruder is a song about a poor black neighborhood in Alabama where some dude goes up and finds another dude in his sister's room sitting there trying to rape her. Apparently had climbed through the second floor window, and he helps stop the rape, and the rapist escape, and he's flamboyantly stereotypically calling him out. And here is the Gregory Brothers song of Bed Intruder right now.
Well, obviously we have a rapist in Lincoln Park. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape him, so you need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you, we gon' find you, we gon' find you, so you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that, homeboy, homeboy. We got your t-shirts and your left fingerprints, and all you are so dumb, you are really dumb, for real.
The man got away, leaving behind evidence. I was attacked by some idiot in the project.
So dumb, so dumb, so dumb, so dumb. He's climbing your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you. We gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy.
He's climbing in your windows. He's sucking your people up. Trying to break them. So you need to hide your kids, hide your wife. Husbands, cause they raping everybody out there.
Well, what do you think, man?
I can't get enough of them, dude. Like, that Antoine Dawson one, I seem to listen to it once, at least once a day. it's done so well. It's better than most rap shit that's out now.
Yeah. It's almost like when he was doing the newscast. That I mean, what he's saying and his mannerisms in the newscast fit what the Gregory brothers put to music so well. It's almost like it's natural.
Then we have the second clip that's from a newscast that's actually from the same town, but back in the late 90s. Old guy's like drunk and upset and. He's talking to a news reporter and he's sitting there talking about people that want to strut that ass. Here's the song.
You'll be so goddamn tired by the time you get to New Hope that she won't be strutting that ass. You'll be
What's got you so mad today?
Me?
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to run. Everybody wants to run. That's good. I'll be right behind them. See how far they can run. See how far they can run. It's a show and it's a big attitude. The claim you got is you're gonna do something because you work at the store. And you got a f***ing Mercedes Benz. And you ain't gotta walk every day. So you gonna get out and strut that ass. Strut that ass. Strut that. Strut that ass. Strut that ass. Ooh. You work at the arsenal, and you gotta strut that ass, strut that ass. Ooh, ooh. When you start walking, my friend, then you get 10, 15 miles on the highway, you won't be strutting that ass. You won't be strutting that ass. You'll be happy, you'll be so f***ing tired, you won't be hard to hold that ass up, hard to hold that ass up. When you walk about 15, 20 miles, my friend, you won't strut that ass, strut that ass, strut that, strut that ass, strut that ass. Ooh. You work at the arsenal, and you gotta strut that ass, strut that ass, ooh! Strut that ass, strut that ass, strut that, strut that ass, strut that ass, ooh! You work at the arsenal, and you gotta strut that ass, strut that ass, ooh!
The, Stallion's favorite strut that ass song is, that's just fucking catchy, dude. I don't know what it is, that old guy. But that shit is hilarious. You're like, why are you so mad? Because everybody wants to run. Everybody wants to run. That's good. I'll be right behind them to see how far they can run. It's a chauvinistic pig attitude that Clinton's got. It's work at the arsenal.
What are you talking about, Clinton? What the fuck is the arsenal?
I have no idea. Cause you gotta strut that ass, strut that ass.
Mm. That's almost like that Pokemon shit, like 1998 bullshit. Fucking Bill Clinton now to the president, Obama.
When you walk 10 to 15 miles to find down the highway, you won't be strutting that ass, strutting that ass. And my favorite's always when he's like, you won't ever hardly hold that ass up. He's like, hardly over hold that ass up.
I think he just got out of the coma.
Oh, fucking
like,
shit.
The last thing he heard was that Juvenile song, Back That Ass Up, or some shit, and then he just fucking went into a coma.
I like fucking hopping down the sidewalk and shit.
And lastly, we have Double Rainbow, where a fella gets overexcited at seeing a double rainbow across the sky, all the way at Yosemite Park in the U.S.
Whoa, that's a full rainbow all the way. Double rainbow, oh my god. Double rainbow, it's a double rainbow all the way. Yeah, it's a double rainbow all the way. Yeah, oh my god. What does this mean? It's so bright, so vivid. Double rainbow, it's so intense. What does this mean? It's starting and looks like a triple rainbow. That's a whole rainbow now. Ah! Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Yeah, yeah. So intense. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Whoa, whoa. Oh my god, look at that rainbow. Double complete rainbow. Oh my god. I can't even capture it on my camera. Double rainbow on the way across the sky. Yeah, yeah. So intense. Double rainbow on the way across the sky. Wow, wow. Oh my god, look at that rainbow. Woo! That is the baddest f***ing rainbow I've ever seen.
The Double Rainbow song is very catchy as well. They're all really good. Their auto-tune, the news portions, are some of those are hit or miss. There are a couple there that they have there that are absolute, like, I don't know, man. They're just, I watch them every day.
Well, I've gotten into the habit where I've ripped the videos down to their audio and stuff, and I got it on, you know, all three of them on repeat on Winamp, to where it'll just cycle through all three of them over and over again. I can't get enough of them either. And Stallion's probably pissed at us for even having it on the podcast, because he just got Strutting That Ass out of his head.
Yeah, I'm pissed about that. Got it out of my head, and now we're talking about it. You can auto-tune the Pig song?
I don't know. Pig was very in pitch. Pig will be all natural. Again, this was the auto-tune versions by the Gregory Brothers. If you look in the show notes, you can find links to the original videos. I recommend watching those. Then you'll find links to the auto-tune by the Gregory Brothers. I definitely recommend you watch those. Subscribe to their channel. Buy it through iTunes. Support these guys, because they're incredibly creative and they deserve your support. Even though I said I ripped the songs from the videos and stuff, I still bought the iTunes versions later. So yeah, check them out.
Well, that's it for this week's podcast. Next week we'll have, we will talk about Alpha Protocol for the fourth week in a row, because I will start my playthrough this week. Hopefully Rand will play something besides Little League World Series. There should be some more news next week. Omega might have another tale from Detroit. Hopefully some listeners will post some questions. Hey, post some questions, listeners. We want to answer them. And maybe we'll find another nub for Who Let the Nub In. Wait and see. So this is Majin Fro signing off.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
Stallion 83.
I gotta piss like a racehorse.
Randall Thor 19.
Hey, where you going, amigos? Let's come some burritos.
Omega D's.
Yeah, whatever.
And our silent guest all through the podcast, Pigamus Prime.